This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is coming along to 7:07 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Hezril and Kelvin. We're moving on to our next story, which looks at what goes into good cybersecurity. So a report from the Straits Times found that sensitive documents from the Royal Malaysian Navy, or the RMN, were leaked onto a dark web portal last month. The documents revealed quite a bit of info. Troop figures at several naval and army bases during a holiday season last year. Details of Navy officials who have been absent without leave, took drugs, or were charged with corruption, and the list goes on.
The Straits Times reached out to the RMN, and a spokesperson said that they've got no comment. Back to the report, though, the intent of the person or group who released the documents is unclear for the moment, whether that information is meant to be sold or it's just meant to be shared to those who have access to the dark web.
Yeah, so data breaches are nothing new. In fact, in 2016, Malaysia's National Cybersecurity Agency reported that over 2,100 servers belonging to government agencies were hacked. But in light of this latest incident, we want to understand what exactly goes into protecting data, especially when it's sensitive and it concerns national security.
Yeah, the thing is, when it does end up in the dark web or just the internet in general, it kind of tends to stay there for a long time, and you can't really remove it. It's just there, and anyone who has the capabilities to access it, they will try to access it. And that's risky, right? Because we don't know what other information is out there until and unless, you know, proper cybersecurity checks are done on government servers and so on. But at the same time, it's also, you don't really find out until it's been leaked out, and someone, a journalist, an NGO usually, trying to find what's out there.
For sure. And I think this just brings into mind, on the flip side, you know, what exactly goes into monitoring this data? You know, like, how is this, if the Straits Times didn't report this, would the Navy have found out perhaps on their own if this happened? And what goes into monitoring to ensure that data, whether it's from the Navy or the Army or a government agency, is not sitting out there on a dark web, right? Are there people scanning it, these things, you know, 24/7, or is it some sort of program? So I'm just curious, you know, what exact mechanisms are actually involved into this? On that note, you can let us know what you think about what should go into good cybersecurity, perhaps. You know, what needs to be, what kind of security mechanism needs to be increased, or measures or laws. You can let us know. Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be crossing over to Farlina Said, analyst in the Foreign Policy and Security Studies program at ISIS Malaysia, to get her thoughts on the issue. In the meantime, keep it here on BFM 89.9.
Bombing frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
It is 7:15 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Hezril and Kelvin. And we're currently looking at what exactly goes into good cybersecurity, because a report from the Straits Times found that very sensitive information from the Royal Malaysian Navy were leaked onto a dark web portal last month. This isn't the first time sensitive info has been leaked. In 2016, actually, Malaysia's National Cybersecurity Agency reported over 2,100 cases of hacking into government servers. So with that, we want to understand how cybersecurity can be improved and why these things happen in the first place. So to get some insights, we're crossing over to Farlina Said, analyst in the Foreign Policy and Security Studies program at the Institute for Strategic and International Studies, Malaysia. Farlina, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
So this particular leak is reported to include sensitive information like troop strength of naval and army bases, officers charged with corruption, and so on. What impact do you imagine a leak of this magnitude having on our security?
I think there are actually several interesting things about the information that was gathered, and also sometimes when we actually do have to, when we actually look at the situations, for instance, data breaches, we have to understand it from a context like the motivations as well as the surrounding context in regards to the issue. So when we're actually looking, the question was, what impact do you actually imagine a leak of this info would have on our security? And I think it is actually dependent on the usage of the information. So if we actually could look at the situations from several perspectives, there can actually be a range of interested parties who may have come across the information in the dark web. And if we actually to look at the information stated, it can be associated because it's actually related to the Navy, right? So for instance, there can be a range of possible interested parties given that Malaysia is a maritime nation with strategic issues such as piracy, transborder crime, issues of the South China Sea, kidnappings, as well as a movement of people across the and through the Malaysian waters. So this actually sets up the stage when we're actually talking about the possibility of what and how you can actually use the information. If we were to actually look at some of the trends that's actually happening internationally, when you actually do gather information, it's for several intentions. Some of it can be to socially engineer or disrupt society. Some can actually be to actually gather just a wider range of information to seek vulnerabilities in defense. There's actually a difference between information gathering known as intelligence gathering or with the intention of preparation for national security concerns or information gathering with the intention of selling the information. This means that if we actually think for the former, we can actually see it as part and parcel of the armed forces trade where you are actually a part of intelligence gathering espionage, and this is actually a part and parcel of the portfolio, while the latter actually means that you're actually looking at different motivations and you're actually thinking about intentions, which is criminal or otherwise.
So just jumping off that, right, in general, who would want this sort of information in the first place? Are they sometimes state actors or are they some perhaps people in the defense industry, for example?
I think the interesting thing about the dark web is that the structure is as such, if you actually have the software, you can come across some of these information. Some of these information is actually available for purchase. So in other words, it would be very difficult for you to actually say, for you to try and profile the motivations of these actors. Because as I mentioned earlier, Malaysia's maritime waters actually do have a broad range of actors, inclusive of like terrorist activities in Sabah, for instance. So you actually do have actors who would be interested in these types of information. Yeah, it would be quite difficult for me to actually just completely like pin and then actually highlight a specific party.
And how often do leaks like this happen, and do they all necessarily have a significant impact?
I think the interesting thing is there are some people who have actually looked into the dark web and actually some of the information that's actually available for sale. For instance, I think there's this paper by CCDOE and NITO by Robert Karch, if I'm not mistaken, and he actually tried to categorize the types of content, and the majority of the content actually happens to be more criminal related, meaning that it's pornography or even extremist materials. So I think back to the question about how often do these leaks actually happen. The leaks actually would tie back to different types of vulnerabilities when it comes to the military or even any party. For instance, you would actually have to look at the security of your supply chain. You actually have to look at the cyber hygiene or your personnel. So these are actually the types of vulnerabilities that actually just opens the pathway for the data breaches or data leaks even to occur.
What's the likely response when a government realizes that a data leak has occurred?
The first would actually be, because the government actually, if we're actually looking at the defense sector, we actually do have the Cyber Defense Operations Center. We have had institutions or agencies or departments, I guess divisions, that actually who are specifically tasked into monitoring and actually looking and securing the military cyberspace. So the first step would actually be to plug the leak. it would actually to be I and then to move on is to actually project the issues that the leak would actually that the leak has actually compromised. Because for informer, you actually have to look at the factors that did contribute to the data leakage.
Now, are there examples of data leaks, either locally or abroad, that have actually compromised a country's security, and how is this handled?
I think this is actually a very interesting question, because if we were to actually ask this in an intelligence setting, and if you're actually looking at it from the perhaps from the Cold War perspective, then you would actually have, yes, data leakages, or the fact that your adversary or foreign state actor knows the information, then immediately your nation's security is actually compromised. But if you're actually looking at a targeted information gathered about very private information about personnel, and you're actually looking at how do you actually utilize that for leverage, that's actually a very different, it's a very different approach. It's a very specific approach, and it actually tries to get the information in a very specific way. So in this sense, I would actually say, yes, there are actually examples, but if we're actually looking at it from this perspective where it's actually data leakage, you're actually looking at information that's actually being used to actually gain a certain type of leverage, I think that's a moving needle, because you actually do see that in cyberspace there's interest in actually having operations below the threshold of force, and this actually means you need better and more responsible state behavior in cyberspace. So that opens up a different kind of conversation, but if that is actually how if that actually contributes to the question or answering the question in any ways, that would be my take of it.
Who's to be held accountable for a data breach like this?
This is a bit difficult, because the structure of dark web is as such that it actually it anonymizes, and because it uses encryption technology, so it anonymizes pretty. That's the structure of the dark web. Who can be held accountable in a situation like this would be if it depends on how we actually want to approach or solve the issue. If it's actually a cyber hygiene issue, then the accountability, it's lesser of an accountability as more of a way forward for you to actually form a standard operating procedures that would be useful for your personnel to always be aware of cyber hygiene. If it's actually in regards, because the techniques that's used may not be the situation in cyberspace is that it is actually a race that keeps on running. So if you actually are defending the system, you are sometimes in an asymmetrical place where you're actually looking at consistent tries to get into your system. So in that sense, the race can only go further and longer, so you can only run further, if that even makes sense.
I think one part of it is imagining it from like a very Hollywood-like perspective, I guess, where someone's always trying to hack into the system, whatever. But I think what really happens a lot of times is that it's really through email compromises, right? You send it to perhaps lower levels of management or lower levels of staff. They open a link, they get phished, their details get compromised. And that's what you mean essentially by cyber hygiene, right? That if you don't know how to be careful with your credentials, you don't know how to make sure that an email that is sent is actually coming from the right person that you're expecting it from, that can go awry, even if you have the best cybersecurity defense systems available to you.
Yes, that's definitely true. I think cyber hygiene is the basic that should be encouraged, because that's probably the first line of it, because most of the cyber criminals, or even whether they're state-sponsored, whether they're just criminals, that's the first line where they would try. you just send a link. If the person clicks on it, you immediately have something at the other end of the line. And we actually see this not necessarily even related to defense. You actually see it related to the type of information that you actually find online about, say, data breaches when it comes to telco information or things like that. So it's almost the same principle.
Right. And bringing it back to Malaysia, what steps have been taken by the government to strengthen cybersecurity, and are there ways that they can improve?
Malaysia has actually, we were among the first, I think, to actually come out with the Malaysia cybersecurity policy, which was we spoke about it, I think, in 2008. And I think that was when we actually came up with, 10 critical infrastructure sectors for us to actually focus resources into increasing the resilience and increasing the strength of all these infrastructures. I think there's actually room it depends very much on if we're talking about cybersecurity for the armed forces or we're actually talking about cybersecurity for the nation as a whole. For the nation as a whole, there's actually more conversations, I think, on things like cyber hygiene. I believe like the COVID situation actually did bring that to light, that you actually do have to be aware, for instance, when they were concerned about, say, the Zoom, Zoom hackings and Zoom bombings and things like that, for you to actually be aware of things that's happening. But if we're actually talking about the armed forces, then you're actually looking at a very different type of cybersecurity, because you actually do have to look at, if we're actually looking at it as a race, then you actually have to understand about the types of adversaries that you may actually have in this race, and also about the types of four structures that you can actually have to approach and ensure that your cybersecurity and integrity, information integrity and all, are actually kept intact, particularly when you actually have different movements and different types of operations perspectives from other nations.
Fralina, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Okay, thank you very much. I hope that helps.
That was Fralina Said, analyst in the Foreign Policy and Security Studies program at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, Malaysia. If you'd like to weigh in, keep sending your thoughts through to us. In the meantime, we're headed to some messages and then to the 7:30 news. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.